Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to spend it with me this afternoon. Just getting things running, trying to move around things. We're making a change again in the station where we're just going to start a new channel, and that's what I've been working on this last couple of weeks, actually, just trying to figure out how we're going to do it, and I think we're going to do it pretty soon. I'm just got to program the computer and get that thing running, and I think we can do it pretty quickly. Just going to take a few minutes to actually build the stuff, but then just the downloading the stuff is going to be a while. And what I'm talking about is our new counseling and prayer channel. Can you imagine that? 24/7 counseling shows and prayer shows. How else can you get blessed? Amen. How else can you be a blessing? And how else can the Word of God just touch other people by just counseling people and teaching them and preaching to them through the Word of God and through the love of God? And I really appreciate just the ideas and stuff that people help with me to get this. It's not easy to be the creative person all the time, and seeing the different shows that are out there and seeing what they are. I really fell in love with two shows, and they're going to be the highlights for our prayer channel, and that's Pray America Live with Dr. David Woods, and also Hurt for the Heart, I think is what the name, June Hunt. I know the lady, Hope for the Heart, I'm sorry, and Hope in the Night. Those are going to be on their counseling channel, and they sent me this beautiful little package. I met these people at the NRB. In fact, we're going to have June's interview on this. I didn't interview David. We were so busy out there. It was brief, and me and David Wood don't even know how we got a hold of each other, because I had his card, but he didn't have my card, and I can remember almost everyone. I can actually remember everyone I meet, and these people that I met were just, I can tell they're in this to help people, and they both have live talk shows, and we're going to create two new things on the live events page for them as well. It's going to be Hope for the Heart in the Night with June Hunt, and it'll be at 11 o'clock. From 11 to 1 o'clock, we'll be on live events page, and that's going to be Monday through Friday. That's a live call-in show, so if you listen to live events page, you're going to be able to get that live call-in show from her. And then from midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning, David Woods is on the air. And I don't know about you, but I am not the host for you that will go from midnight to 4 in the morning. That is not what I do. It's not my best productive time. But God has used him. He started with one channel or one station back a year or two ago. And now he's on all these stations all across America. And people are being healed. People are being delivered. His traveling ministry, which is his healing ministry, has grown from it. And he takes 4 hours of talking about the scriptures, talking about America, talking about where we need to pray, and praying for people. 4 hours every day. And he is literally the prayer man at night. While I'm sleeping, this man's gonna be on our station. So that's an awesome thing to see that kind of stuff. So we're adding more programs, and I want you to look out for them. Hopefully within this next week, we'll have them running. And David Woods, I talked to him twice. He's also going to be on Rev Media TV. And we're just seeing some good things. We're seeing some good things. I'm seeing a lot of facilitating. What I'm doing is helping these guys get their message out, and I'm just glad, and just trying to get things running, and still trying to get things moving forward with that. So again, that is June Hunt, and it is David Woods, who will be on the station with us starting this next coming week. We'll have them a little bit through our talk show radio, but then they're going to be on their own channel, and we're going to be adding shows like theirs in the channel throughout the day, throughout the time that we have the station. Of course, we're going to be adding new people in. So, just thought I'd throw that out to you, and we're going to play June Hunt's interview in just a minute, and just to give you a preview of what she's going to do, and I'm sure it's going to touch you. I'm sure it's going to touch you. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. PO Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. I got back from the valley last week. Had a great time out there. Great healing testimonies. Individual whose hand was like a claw. He could not open his hand. Was healed on his way up to the prayer count, to prayer line. And his hand was healed before he got to the very last chair. He turned around and just went and sat down. I sat with him at Chili's afterwards, and we're eating and we're talking about that and fellowshipping. And we had another individual that his eyes were completely healed, and he was losing his eyesight. The doctors kept giving him new prescription after new prescription, and God completely healed the disorder that was in him. So I thank God for what he does. We do so much stuff. We act and move around a lot. And next week I'll be on Divine Intervention. I'll be a guest on their show, on a pre-recorded show, and it'll air later on. And we're going to be on Aging Outside the Box, talking about Almost Out of Grace and about David Yana's ministries. And that's going to be on the 12th of April. So we are busy about our Father's business. Praise God. You know, faith is always going to challenge convenience. And that is something that I want you to get in your heart and get in your spirit, that faith will always challenge convenience. No matter where you are in life, my friends, you're going to have faith when it is not convenient. Can I have an amen? Praise God. I preached that in the valley, preached it at my church, and I'm preaching it to you here on Rev Media Network, on Midwatch with the Rev. And that is this, that every time someone looked at Jesus and looked at him, and we have several stories in the Bible that show this, every time someone looked at Jesus and said, "Well, let me go bury my father," or, "I can't do that right now," the rich man, "I can't do that right now." He could not let go of everything that he had to follow the Lord. Or, let me go ahead and say goodbye to my family. It was not convenient for them. It was not convenient for them to have their faith go forward and do the work of God at that time. And those men of God's life, they loved God. They wanted to do what was right with God. Jesus wasn't being sarcastic or rude, or he wasn't giving them anything more than the truth. And that is, faith will be always challenge convenience. It will always make you think, always make you wonder, always make you get puzzled that there's something going on. There's three levels of faith that the Word of God talks about. There's more levels, but there's three levels. There's no faith, there's little faith, and little faith and great faith. So we know that faith is not always at the same level for each one of us every day. It's not, my friends. Faith is not at the same level that it needs to be. In Acts, if you look at the Word of God, you'll read about Stephen. And when they decided to call him forward, they were looking for someone to be a part of the ministry to help and take care of the widows. And that you can find that story in Acts chapter 6 verse 5. But one thing we read about Stephen is that he was a man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. The disciples were charged with finding seven men that were full of the Holy Ghost. How many of us know that we can have full of the Holy Ghost, but not be full of faith? Not be full of faith. You know, again, there's no faith, there's little faith, and there's great faith that God talks about in our lives. The little faith that we have is, remember the disciples when they were out in the water? Jesus was resting. He was dead asleep. How many of us have been in a dead sleep that we could not even pick up our heads? That we were just out, that no matter what was happening, it wouldn't wake us. Now, my wife tells me that I tend to have that dead sleep, that I cannot be woken up because I am snoring so much that nothing can wake me up. And, well, Jesus was in that sleep. There was a storm ravaging the ship, about to destroy it, according to the disciples. And when he was awoken, he looked at them and said, You have no faith. For people that have seen miracles, seen the power of God, and Jesus turns around and tells them that you have no faith, what does that mean? You know, every one of us can, at one point in our walk, at one point in our day, have no faith. Now, come on, let's think about it. How many times has something come up in your life that just kind of vacuumed your faith completely away? And that is what happened to these disciples. They seen the storm so strong and crushing the ship that their faith was vacuumed out, that they had no faith. They had nothing in the tank. Nothing. Nothing in the tank that could take care of this. Nothing in the tank that could beat this. Nothing in the tank that can stand up and say, "Storm, go away." Now, that's what the disciples were going through right then. They had no faith. Of course, Jesus got up. Jesus did his thing, and wham. Storm was called to quit. It was called to stop. And then Jesus, again, gives us another example of the faith level of the disciples and of us at times. When the disciples began to reason among themselves that Jesus was giving them a parable about bread, and the scribes and the Pharisees, and that the disciples mistook it for him telling them that he mentioned bread because they forgot to bring bread. Again, the disciples seen the great works that the Lord had, the great works that God had done, the very great works that he had made happen. Before that, he said, "How many loaves and baskets of loaves and fish did you gather after the last time you didn't bring lunch?" That kind of gives us an example of reasoning and trying to understand what's happening in our lives and try to say, well, maybe this is happening because God has this happening, or maybe this is happening because God has that happening. No, there's no reasoning in our faith. There's no trying to understand it, because it's going to hinder and hamper the activity in the supernatural. You see, the disciples themselves were told, or Jesus looked at them and said, "You have little faith. Ye of little faith." They could not grasp what he was talking about. They were worried about the current situation, not trusting that no matter if it was on the back of their mind. How many times are things in the back of our mind when we go through faith? That we want to believe for what's happening today, right now, but in the back of our mind, something's troubling. Well, see, that's what's happened with the disciples. They had little faith. But then Jesus shows us that in any moment, any of us can have great faith. Praise God for that. That at any moment, any of us can have great faith. Centurion was a prime example. One of the few that Jesus said has great faith was when he looked at Jesus and said, "Look, I'm a commander of many soldiers. What I tell them, they have to do." You are the same thing in the spiritual. You can have over the sickness, you can command this to leave, and it would leave. And Jesus marveled at his faith. And he said, "Oh, how great faith you have." Now, think about Stephen. Seven people chosen. Let's look at that. Let's get our Bibles out just for a sec. My email address, david@revmedianetwork.com. Looking forward to hearing from you. david@revmedianetwork.com. We're going to be showing some more interviews in a few minutes. June Hunt will be the interview that we'll be doing today. Look at the book of Acts real quickly before Miss June Hunt comes on the air with us. I think counseling and prayer is an important thing, and I'm glad that God's given us the ability to do that, given us the ingenuity to make this happen. It says, pleased the whole multitude, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And then had six other people underneath him that were named as well. But Stephen, full of faith. Now let's look at Stephen's life in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You know, we have to be full of faith to see great things happen. All these men were chosen with Stephen, but because he was full of faith, he was at a different level. He was able to do miracles and among the people. Great miracles and great wonders did he do. So Stephen was able to do this in a great way because he was full of faith. Barnabas was another one mentioned in the Bible that was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus in Luke 4, let's turn to that real quick. Jesus in Luke 4 was also mentioned to be full of the Holy Ghost after he was tempted with the devil. It says right here in verse 13, and when the devil, and this is Luke 4:13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into the Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. The power of the Spirit. He had the power of the Spirit after he was tested in the garden, and I believe he was full of faith. Praise God. And he was tested of the devil, and he was able to stand. And when he came out, he was, the says in verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he was full of the Holy Ghost when he went in. And then when he came out, on verse 14, and when Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Ghost in Galilee, there went out a fame around him. So there was a power that was given to him after the garden. And that power was the full of faith that he had, and the strength that he believed in the Lord. I mean, in the scriptures and everything else. So, there are different ways, different things that your faith will give you. That's just a short teaching for you about full of faith and how it happens and how we should be able to stand. I mean, so many things happen in your life. You don't know what's gonna actually transpire. You don't know what's going to be part of it and what's going to happen next. So, I'm hoping that you're grabbing something from this, that God is blessing you, and we're going to have Miss June Hunt come on in just a second, and we're going to see her talk to you about some good things, and this is my interview that I had with her from the NRB, and I hope that this interview blesses you. I hope that it gives you something to expect, because June is an awesome woman of God, and we're going to see what she has to say right now. Here's Miss June Hunt with me at the NRB. God bless you. We'll be right back after this short interview.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Gannis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We're back again here at the NRB, and we are seeing some awesome things already. We had two great guests already. We had Miss Ann Jimenez, and we had Jim Markham. There's another Steve Markham that's a big pastor in Kansas City. So it's a different person. But we had Jim Markham, and we had a great, great time with him. Now, what we have today right now is Miss June Hunt. Say hello, June.
Wonderful to be with you, David. Thank you.
And we are honored to have you. You've done so much already in the faith. I mean, you've written many books, correct?
Correct.
And you have a strong counseling ministry, is it?
Yes, biblical counseling.
Biblical counseling, and you just really doing many things, and I'm very honored to have you on our show. It's a good thing to see women of faith and women with longevity and faith that just lasted and continue to pioneer. I think you're one of the pioneers in the Christian counseling, aren't you?
You know, I really think the whole issue is, what has God taught us, and can we turn around and share what is life-changing with others? You learn best by your own experience, and I needed, number one, to have a changed life through Christ. I didn't know that. I needed to learn how to forgive, and I didn't think
yes.
that was logical to me. It wasn't actually reasonable to forgive, because to me, that means you let somebody off the hook. And so I had to learn about that. So ultimately, unplanned by me, we are in 27 languages in over 60 countries with what is called a biblical counseling library on 100 topics. So, I'm as amazed as anybody could be about what God has done in that way. Not me, but what God has done.
Amen. So we talked about forgiveness a little bit there. Now, I did a sermon about forgiveness, and it was an interesting thing. I said, you have to have either God's forgiveness or, you know, we have to have God's forgiveness, not man's forgiveness. And you know, I'm talking about Peter saying, and all the disciples saying, you know, well, how many times should we forgive? And I tell everybody this, that there's God's forgiveness, which means 70 times 7, means unlimitedly. And then there's man's natural ability, like you were saying, letting someone off the hook. Man's naturalness will say, no, I can't forgive you for that. But you know what? We have to.
We need to understand what God says.
Amen.
We don't have to, but we will suffer the consequences
Absolutely.
If we don't. In fact, it's very interesting, following what is called the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer, there are two verses that are key. Specifically, though, it's if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. So the question is, do you want to have a full release as God intended, or do you not? It's an issue of choices.
Absolutely. You know, the word it also says, you know, if you're going to bring your offerings and stuff, it ties to your finances too. If you don't, if it's better for you to leave your gift there at the altar, go make forgiveness, and then come and present that gift to God. Mm-hmm. And so it affects a lot of things in your life. Tell us about your book on forgiveness.
Well, the title is How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It.
That's a good title.
Because I didn't feel like forgiving specifically. The challenge in my life was my father, who had a lifestyle of infidelity.
Okay.
He was very, very harsh, sometimes cruel, and so it wasn't logical to forgive. So bottom line, I didn't, because I had an equation. I had now come to Christ, and even though I was changing in many areas, this was one area that, again, was not logical. There was no repentance on my father's part. There was no asking forgiveness. There was no I'm sorry, nothing. And so to me, it was also, since he had a lifestyle of infidelity, it was, I had this equation. I love math. Math makes sense. God hates sin. Dad is sinning. God hates dad. I hate dad. That was very logical to me. Obviously, that is not what the Bible says, but in fact, the Bible says that if you hate someone, your brother, you are walking in darkness, and the darkness has blinded you. You don't even know where you're going.
Absolutely.
So I didn't want to hear that. And plus, I actually thought, but God knows my situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
So he would understand. he understands that.
Amen.
But the fact is, I am not the exception. I am not the exception to the rule. Yes, he understands, but he still says we have to forgive. So the bottom line is, I had to learn a different way. I had to, in fact, the Bible actually says, Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Amen.
So if we're going to forgive as the Lord forgave us, well, I didn't deserve to be forgiven. So people don't deserve forgiveness. In fact, it's administered when it is not deserved.
Amen.
If it's deserved, then you earn it. And that means it's not forgiveness at all.
Amen. Amen. So what was the response on your book? I mean, how do people take this book of forgiveness?
Well, it's been in airports and a lot of it. So
it's something that people needed to hear.
Yeah, about 60 some odd thousand books have been sold.
Awesome.
Publisher just showed us some statistics on that. But the main, you know what's interesting, David? I got a letter from a man, actually a text, and he said, I want you to know I've never been able to forgive before. He said, this is the first time I've been able to forgive because I understand now the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation.
That's good.
Many people do not forgive. He said, I thought in order to forgive, I would then have to be reconciled. But that's not true. Reconciliation is two ways. However, forgiveness is one way. It's not based on what the other person does or doesn't do. if we bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance it is that we have against one another, then it's only based on what we choose to do. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a choice. It's an act of the will. And in terms of you forgive a person basically based on the fact that there is a need to do what God wants you to do. It's a choice to do what God wants you to do. And it, regardless of broken trust. However, reconciliation is based on if there is restored trust.
Mm.
Huge distinction.
Absolutely.
So there has to be a change. In fact, you can think about it this way. Forgiveness is like a change in mind about the offender. Okay, I need to, as an act of my will, choose to forgive you. Whereas reconciliation is based on a fact that a person has chosen to be trustworthy. There's a major difference of looking at that other person and saying, okay, if you have done these things, then we can be reconciled. You know, the scripture Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together unless they are agreed to do so? So if there's no agreement, if there's no like-mindedness, then there's no reconciliation. Now, some people have a hard time with that, and they say, well, that doesn't seem right. We're, you know, God's a God of reconciliation, and we read this. Well, really, that's referring to salvation. But the fact is, in truth, let's say, David, you have a child. Do you have a child?
I have four of them.
Four? Do you have a girl? A little girl?
I have my little princess. Right. Yep, okay. She's my, she's eight. Yeah.
Okay, let's just say that next door to you was a couple, lived next door, and on occasion you've had them in your home, and now you've got to leave because you and your family, you and your wife are needing to take care of a heartache, an emergency, and so they are willing to keep your children until you get back.
Okay.
The next day. And then later, several months later, you find out that the next door neighbor, the man, he molested your little princess, your precious daughter, and you're just stunned. Well, tell me, would you continue to just have this man over at your home?
It would be hard to. It would be hard to.
No, well, do you not have a responsibility? It's not hard, is it not? Do you not have a responsibility as a dad to be a protector?
Yeah, you're right. You have to be the protector.
Yeah. So no, you don't. You don't have a reconciled relationship if this man is arrogant and stay, you know, so I didn't do anything. Well, and yet you know that the fact is that there was your precious child was molested. So the point is there's a difference between forgiveness. You still need to be able to forgive him. But the question now is how do you do it? Because you don't feel like it.
In that situation, that would be the hardest thing for any father, any parent to forgive.
Most dads want to kill the guy.
That was my next question. When do I go across the street and take care of this?
So the thing is, this is where, and this is what I had to learn. It's not letting a person off the hook, just letting them go free, etc. You're taking that person off of your emotional hook. And I say emotional hook because every time you see that man, every time you physically are in that man's presence, you're going to be impacted. You're going to feel something on the inside that's not good. So you have a choice. You can go on and let that man control you every time you think of him, every time that person, you see that person. Well, in truth, your choice is now you can take him off of your emotional hook and put him onto God's hook. That is forgiveness. You release him. You say, Lord, there must be something terribly broken in his life, and I will choose as an act of my will to release him into your hands. There's no way he can pay me back, because that's the concept of forgiveness. Often it is dismissing a debt. Well, he can't pay you back. Yeah, there's nothing he could do to do that. And so you release him into God's hands, because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay.
Absolutely.
So forgiveness actually can set you free.
Amen.
Instead of that bitterness, the resentment, the hatred that would be natural for most people, you literally are able to set that person free. And therefore, what I mean by set them free, they can't pay you back anyway. So the truth is, now you are emotionally set free on the inside.
Yes, true. The Bible says whatever you hold on to in heaven and you hold on earth, you hold on in heaven. So if you hold on to that grudge and that anger, you have to let that go. Mm-hmm. To freedom, you do. Mm-hmm. Now, this is in your book, correct?
Yes, the book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It.
Amen. And they can buy that on your website, everywhere books are sold, correct?
Airports, too. Or Amazon, or whatever local Christian bookstores.
Now, you do a lot of counseling, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now how much does forgiveness come up in the counseling?
Sometimes somebody is talking about another issue, and if you're going to peel the layers of the mm-hmm. onion, what it boils down to is a bitterness, a lack of forgiveness. So sometimes they don't start out there, but clearly that can... I would say it is one of the major topics of all. Anger,
yep.
Forgiveness, and understanding how to do it is absolutely key. By the way, in order to continue in that state of forgiveness where... because some people do say, and I'm sure you've heard this, well, I thought I forgave, but no, I must not have because I have these strong feelings.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the scripture is clear, as with Peter, how many times do I forgive? 7 times? And by the way, that was really amazing because normally with Jewish law, you know, if it's 3 times, okay, 4th time,
That's it.
your history. But he was really being magnanimous. He was being noble.
Yeah.
7 times. And then, you know, Jesus goes to the extreme of, no, Peter, it's 70 times 7. And it's not like you go, oh, well, let me see. That was number 13 that person did that. Okay, this is number 21. You know, it's not like you're counting. It means unlimited. And so the issue is every time you think of that offense or the offender, you make a choice to forgive again. Forgiveness is a process. And unfortunately, many pastors, many times from the pulpit, it's presented as a one-time act.
Yeah.
Well, there's a one-time, but then maybe then 2, 3, 4, however many times. So what I say is, and this is what has been true for me, every time I have a very, very difficult person in my life, as soon as I think of that person, I immediately think, there's something wrong within that person. There's something broken, something that's not well, something not normal in that person. So, Lord, I pray for them. You know, the Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. Mm-hmm. I pray that that person be willing to be changed by you. It's not God change them. God will change anybody. He wants to change anybody for anything, you know, that anybody who needs to change. But the fact is, what we have to see is that we have to be willing to change. So I would pray for that person to be willing to be broken, willing to see their need for change. And that way, if we continue to pray for that person who's very difficult in our lives, you know, you can't pray for someone consistently without feeling a care.
That's true.
A concern for that person.
Yes.
And that's what I would call the barrier, a protective barrier to keep us from becoming hateful and a bitter person. Nobody likes to be around bitter people anyway.
Absolutely.
And so if you want to be protected from being bitter and resentful, knowing that you don't like to be around bitter, resentful people, even though the people who are resentful, they say, oh, but I'm being logical. I'm right. Well, you may be right that somebody offended you, but the point is, it is not a natural response. It is a supernatural response when you choose to forgive.
Amen, amen. Now, let us have your contact information so people can get a hold of you.
The name of our ministry is Hope for the Heart. HopeForTheHeart.org. If they contact us on the web, 1-800-488-HOPE. That's 1-800-488 in the letters H-O-P-E. And we have two radio programs. One is called Hope of the Heart. The other is called Hope in the Night, a two-hour nighttime call-in counseling program where people call from all over
now
the United
States. What stations is that on, are those on?
Well, we're all over the United States. We're ultimately on about 900 stations.
How many times a week does that come on?
Monday through Friday. For Hope of the Heart, it's a daily 30-minute program, which is a teaching program.
Okay.
It could be, for example, teaching for a week on various kinds of abuse or various kinds of addiction or marriage and family issues, cults, or personal
issues. So
that's
a 30-minute one.
That's a 30-minute call, Hope for the Heart.
Okay.
And that, again, is a 30-minute daily, but it's on different times at different stations. Then Hope in the Night is a two-hour nighttime.
And what time does that one usually start?
Typically, it's I'm from Dallas. Dallas time or central zone is 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Well, my sister, I want to offer you a free internet here. You can have your team contact me. I want to get those simulcasts on our station. It's free. And we'll take it through the airways. We have 3 million listeners, and about a million of those are outside the United States. 2 million are inside the United States. We had 170,000 people just in December just jump on our site listening. Our average listening time is 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 52 minutes. And for everyone on talk show, for our sermon channel, it's about 2 hours, and for the music channel, it's about 3 hours. So, I'm sorry, 6 hour average listening audience. My show is 2 hours and 52 minutes. 6 hour listening audience. So we definitely want to get you plugged in. If we can, even if we get to your archives and play those for you, but we can basically, depending where which station it's on locally, does it broadcast online anywhere?
There's satellite. There's some on.
Because I can pretty much piggyback off of that. Mm-hmm. I can go where they're playing it for 2 hours and play that from my computer, and then turn on my signal and just send the signal out.
Is all yours English or is it Spanish also?
It's all English.
Oh,
yeah, it's all talk radio is all English, and then we're about to launch a Spanish one as well, a sermon, another channel with all three things on there as well.
Well, so. We have materials in Spanish. We have materials in 27 languages.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But Spanish, we have a whole lot of material in
Spanish. Okay, well, we're about to launch a Red Media Network Español, and that's going to be talk radio, music, and sermons all on one channel, and we're going to launch that by the summer is our goal, and getting it ready. I need programming, so definitely I would get your shows and put it on there. So just let me know. Have them contact me. My business card is in the book there. I put it in there for you. But definitely, this is a divine meeting. I'm wanting to put more people on our station and stuff. And we're actually creating a Red Media Network's going to be in UK now too. So we're expanding. We're going to be in Boston. And we're going to be different places. Thank you. And it's all internet based. But you know what? That's the medium. I mean, it's unlimited when you get on the internet. You don't have, there's no barrier. You can keep going all around the world. And we have people from Russia, China. We have people from Vietnam, Thailand listening to our station. And people are, our third largest base is in Australia, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, really where there's English speaking would be the second language or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're getting a lot of listeners and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we definitely would love to have you, June.
Well,
and we definitely would
we'll
be able to broadcast.
We'll get our international director to contact you.
Absolutely.
And, so y'all can meet up.
Yeah, and then that way we can even do a special show on that. And I'll have this archived for you in a few weeks, and then you can pull from there or however you want. And it's also going to broadcast on Red Media TV, which is our new IPTV platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then IPTV takes the signal to 2 million homes through the Roku device on the internet. And then people use their TV to get internet. And yeah, pretty good.
Well, we look forward to our relationship with you in the future. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. God bless you. And thank you for coming in.
Appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you for being part
thank
of
you,
it.
David.
And that was, of course, Miss June Hunt. And it is Hope in the Night that will be broadcasting in the evenings. And also throughout the day, we're going to broadcast her half-hour show, Hope in the Heart, going to be on the regular channel and on the counseling channel as well. So I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Again, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172. And we hope to catch you next tomorrow, actually Thursday. We'll be able to talk to you and be blessed. God bless you, my friends. We'll catch you tomorrow on the Midwatch.